I know it has been already said several times, but still, I just like to give honor to the fathers today. Usually, I don't have a message just depicting one gender from the other, because God's word is for everyone.
Amen.
But I'm leaning a little toward the men this morning. But if the shoe fit the women, you're welcome to wear a man's shoe. Hallelujah. I chose a familiar story. Is healing the beggar who was unable to walk. We are told about a lame man. The description is given in verse 2, where it says, "And a man who had been unable to walk from birth was being carried, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful." That is, in order for him to beg for charitable gifts from those entering the temple grounds. Mm-hmm. You know, I just read that, and right off the bat, I thought about when we first started the church. We thought that we have to help everyone that even thought they were in need. Mm-hmm. And we were getting phone calls that they need help, and we got electric bills, power bills that needed paid for, and we got wise to that. Because we got a power bill in here one time that looked at it and looked like they had it for years. It'd been passed around. But when you tell them to give me the bill and we'll pay it, things change. But we are told a number of things about this man. First of all, we are told that he is lame. He is a cripple. But we are told that he was crippled from his mother's womb. Ever since he was born, he was crippled. He had been crippled. That man, that means that he was not able to stand on his own two feet. And it's hard to man up. If you can't even stand up, it's hard to man up. He couldn't stand on his own two feet. And according to chapter 4, verse 22, the man was 40 years old. So for half of a lifetime, this man was not able to stand up on his own because he was lame from his mother's womb. Now, we don't know all of his sociolytical conditions, although we'll get a hint of it later on. But we do know one thing, that he was poor because he was a beggar. We don't know whether daddy was in his life or not, but it only speaks of the mother being mentioned. But we do know this. Ever since he was born, he was not able to stand up. He was never able to man up. And that was a lifetime condition because he is now 40 years old. We are told a second thing about this man. We are told that his whole life, depending on other folks, did for him. Because it says every day he was carried by other folk to beg. And what's interesting about verse 2 is he was at the church house every day. It says he went to the gate called Beautiful that was at the temple. We are living in a day far too many men are lame. Went to a graduation on, I think it was Wednesday. And I looked on the floor of the Siegel Center. And it was a huge class, but you had a lot of men mixed up in that class. It was so huge, and I wondered to myself, How many of those men were saved? These are young men now. Okay. How many of those men were saved? I thought about that when I thought about this beggar, because I've been seeing a beggar on one of our streets on 9 Mile Road every day, morning to night. Mm-hmm. And what's so interesting about that, I passed by the mother and son. The mother was in the middle aisle, center of the lane, at a stop in front of a stop sign, a yield sign or whatever. And the son was right across the street with a basket. He is washing and hanging clothes. I thought that was odd. But I kept thinking about this beggar. And anyway, ever since this man was able to stand up, he was not able to man up because he had a lifetime condition. He's been in this condition for 40 years. We're told a second thing about this man. We're told that for his whole life, he depended on others. Mm-hmm. It's funny how he was stationed at the church. We're living in a day for far too many men are lame. They may not be physically lame. Mm-hmm. They may be able to physically stand up. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only kind of lameness. There is a social lameness where men are expected the government to do what God has already called them to do. Wow. There's a spiritual lameness where the woman has got to lead the devotions. She has got to pray for the kids because he is too lame to take time to be the spiritual head of his home. So you see, lameness can come in all shapes and sizes, but it all bears the same characteristic, and that is somebody else has to do for you what you will not do to or choose to do for your own self. Even if you're spending time at the church house. And so we find this man in this physical condition, but it's putting in this passage to make a spiritual point, and that is he was not able to make it on his own. Everybody else had to take care of him, and he was living as a beggar. I don't believe there's anyone here today that's living as a beggar, or that's a beggar. Amen. But you know someone else who is. You know someone else who is lame, maybe another family member, but you know someone else who is lame. We've got a man who cannot stand on his own two feet and fulfill the responsibilities that he is responsible to take care of, and now he's living his whole life begging for crumbs. So that's the circumstances. But now we enter two other men. Verse 1 says, Peter and John were going into the temple. At the ninth hour, which is about 3 p.m., the hour of prayer. So now enter two other men, Peter and John. Peter and John are going at the 3 o'clock time in the afternoon to pray. Now, that's going to be very important in a second. It says that they were going at the 3 o'clock hour to pray. They are taking their lunch hour, so to speak, if you will, to go into the house of prayer, into the temple to connect with the living and true God. Amen. On their way, they pass by the man, the lame man. And then the story unfolds. When Peter and John were about to enter the temple, verse 3 says, he began asking to receive alms, that is, begging for money. So Peter and John were walking in, and the lame man says, "What about some change? Can you spare a brother a dime? A dollar maybe? Can you give me a little something, something, so I can make it to it another day?" So the lame man begs Peter and John, like he begged everybody else, in order that he may get a little something, something to hold to last him till tomorrow, to 24 hours at least. And he came out and begged one person at a time. As Peter and John pass by, Peter looks at him and along with John, says, "Fix your gaze on him." And they fix their gaze upon him. According to verse 4, it says, to the lame man, to the beggar, to the dependent one, he says, "Look at us." Let us take a little time to talk about "look at us." If Peter had to tell him to look at us, that means that he wasn't looking at them. So Peter has to tell him, pay attention to us. So that tells me something about the lame man. He had gotten so used to begging that he wasn't even looking at the folks he was asking money from. Because life can beat you down so long and so hard that you can't even hold your head up. All you can look is low. And hope for charity. Hope for something, some help just to come along. So people just passing by, he is just saying, "Help, please, for some money." Peter said, "You got to pay attention to us. You got to look at us, because I'm going to come at you in a way that nobody else has ever had before. I want your attention." Watch this, your undivided attention. So when the man hears this, he now, according to verse 5, he said he began to give them his attention. So he pays attention. Peter says, pay attention. So he's paying attention now. Why? He was expecting to receive something from them. So he says, if Peter says, "Look at me," he maybe is going to give me something that don't even clean, that don't jingle. So he pays attention and he says to receive something that you know that's maybe rattling a little bit. He was saying, "Oh, I got to look at him, paying attention to him. Maybe I'm not going to receive any just change. He's going to give me something that folds and wrinkle and rattle a little bit as far as paper money." It really can be disappointing when you expect something and you don't get what you expect. This man expected something. Peter says to him, "I do not possess silver or gold." That's something. I guess the man said, when he said that means he didn't have money. He said, "Oh no, you got to be kidding me, the beggar, trying to put myself in the beggar's shoes. You're going to tell me pay attention, then you're going to tell me you ain't got nothing. You're going to tell me that you both are broke." John said, "I have not silver or gold. You have asked me for money, and I can't help you." But then he adds to it in verse 6, "But what I do have," wait a minute now. "Now I don't have what you asked for. You asked for money. You asked for arms. But I have something, in fact, what I have money can't buy." And here's where it gets beautiful. He says, "What I have, I'm going to give to you. I love that word give because the word gives is a grace word. Give cannot be earned. It cannot say you have earned it, but it says, I'll give it to you. I don't have what you asked for, but I have something that I will give to you. So it's associated with God's grace. Can't pay for it, can't earn it. Because far too many men are praying for the wrong thing. They are praying for a better job. They are praying for more money. They are praying for more clout. They are praying for more notoriety. They are praying for the wrong thing. They are praying for stuff when God wants to change the person. And when God changed you and you only want stuff from God, you got it backwards. Stuff is okay as long as God is giving stuff to the right person. All this guy wanted was enough to keep his lameness intact. God is not concerned with keeping our lameness intact. He's concerned with changing our lameness so we are not lame men anymore. Amen. So what Peter says is, I have something, but it's not what you asked for. What I have, I give to you in the name.
In the name.
Somebody say in the name again.
In the name.
One more time. In the name.
In the name.
They said, what I have for you, I will give to you. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. But if I'm going to give it to you, it's in the name.
In the name. Yes, Lord.
He says, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Of the Nazarene.
Uh-huh.
Okay. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene.
Walk.
He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, stop being lame anymore. I want you to get up, stand up on your own two feet. I want you to stop depending on everybody else to man up where you should stand up. I want you to stop being irresponsible. I want you to stop being lame. I don't just want you to, I just don't want to give you a tip so you can stay lame.
Jesus.
I don't want to give you leftovers, leftovers, so you can stay lame, so you can stay irresponsible. No, I want to give you that which will enable you to move and stand up on your own two feet. So I have something for you, but it's not what you ask. I said, I'm giving it to you in the name. Let me tell you something about the name. In the Bible, names have meaning. Now, let me tell you why names matter. Names matter because they were designed to fit the reputation or character of a person or place that is named. So when you look at something that has a name, it's giving you something that has to do with the reputation or the character of a person or place that receives that name. Let me tell you why this name matters in this context. In chapter 4 of Acts, verse 7, it says, when they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire of Peter and John by the power or in what name have they done this. So they're telling the man to walk. The leaders want to know under whose authority And in whose power and by what name did you tell this lame man to walk? Now, why do I want you to know that? Because the word name is associated with the word power. Name, power. Remember that. Name, power. They wanted to know. They wanted to know what power has a name attached to it that you can tell this lame man, this man that's crippled all his life, that you can tell this man that's been crippled for 40 years to get up and walk. What name are you using? These theologians back then. So now when you read in chapter 3, in the name of Jesus, walk. They were literally saying, by the power of Jesus, walk. Because the name was tied to the power associated with the name. Let me show you Peter's response in chapter 4, in verse 10. Peter responds in verse 10 saying, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus the Nazarene, that means something, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you in good health.
Hallelujah.
Verse 12. And there is salvation in the one, no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men whereby you must be saved.
Hallelujah.
So when they tell you the man to walk, they tell the man to walk by the name according to the power that belongs to Jesus Christ. But let's go a little deeper than that.
Okay.
He says, he doesn't say in Jesus Christ, just say Jesus Christ. He didn't say just say walk in the power of Jesus Christ. He doesn't say just the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say our Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, in the name that is the power of Jesus Christ, watch this now, from Nazareth.
That's right.
Why does he say Nazareth? Well, being the place where Jesus Christ was raised, he was raised in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, but he was raised in Nazareth. Why does he tell you that the power that got this man to walk was a power from Christ who was raised in a community called Nazareth? Well, that means we need to know something about Nazareth. If you recall, the question was raised to Jesus Christ early on in the book of John. And it says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? See, you see, Nazareth was a place, a no-name place. Nazareth was a town you didn't want to go in.
Thank you.
And you surely didn't want to go through there. Nazareth was a town where no good people came from. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Why am I telling you that? I'm telling you that because if you were from Nazareth, that is, you didn't come from a good background. You didn't come from a great beginning. You didn't come from a nice neighborhood. And you didn't, and you've been messed up for 40 years. I want to tell you, Jesus is from Nazareth. He was raised in Nazareth.
Yeah.
So Jesus can meet you no matter where you come from.
Hallelujah.
He can meet you if you're down and out, as well as you are up and out. He says, silver and gold I have none. So he pulls him to get up and walk. But It's getting better. Excuse me, Pastor Tony, my English expert. It's getting gooder. So I get a B, not an A, get a B. Verse 7 says, and seizing him, that means grabbing him. To seize means to grab. So he pronounces the power of God, but he doesn't sit there with his hands folded, waiting for a man to zap him from heaven. No, he didn't do that. But this man, he ran into two men who were not lame because they were walking, who were willing to grab this man who couldn't walk, didn't think he would ever walk, but introduced him to Jesus Christ and then grabbed him and made him walk. That's going to be more important as we go on. See, when you have a generation of men out there where somebody needs to grab, the problem is wrong folks been grabbing them. And they have been grabbing him, taking him in the wrong direction. It hasn't been spiritual men, godly men, kingdom men grabbing him. It's been cultural men, crazy men that was grabbing him. Peter didn't pray. It says he seized him. He grabbed him. And we're not going to let you stay here. So many times we experienced, and I missed it sometimes, but I made it sometimes, where somebody had stopped you from what you were doing because either they sensed something about you or they come and they said something that the Lord want me to hear you say. I know nothing about them, and they would come, even when I'm at work. And it happens more when I was working because I always were pulled away from my job because somebody came and said something. And you, in your spirit, you know they need something and they need it bad. Mm-hmm. Pastor Mumford talked about mine. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of those. It's strange you just bring that up today because that's what this message is really all about. Mm-hmm. It's stop what you're planning on doing for yourself. Because God has sent somebody across your path that need help now. So what's more important? If I was at church on the way to pastor, to minister, and somebody came that really needs help, is a life or death, am I going to overlook them? I said, man, I can't get to you now, but wait till I come. I got to go to church. Why? I got to be on stand at 11 o'clock so I can preach. No, I'm supposed to take care. That business, nothing comes from the power working of God. We have to understand that because we are saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost. And God has sent people in our lives, and we pass them on. See, we can't do that. God is doing something special in here. I'm saying that we are the example of the church that he wants to happen. Some people say, even when I was working at the factory, all these other churches, name brand, big. The pastors had big names. Everybody know. You mentioned pastor this day. Everybody know who they are. Pastor, everybody know. Me, they don't know who I am. Because at that time, we had about, 10 members? Yeah, man, you ain't got a sister. You ain't preaching no word to get 10 members. How you going to help me? But I tell you, after a while.
Yeah, come on.
After a while, they came to me. After a while, something that they saw. And I would tell them, I says, your church is nice. It's full. Why can't you go to your pastor? I don't want to tell you something that your pastor would be in disagreement with. As long as you're there, Well, I told them what the Lord has given me to tell them. Whether they took it, some did, because it seemed like every other day, same people were coming back. It got to the point where it says, you better pray and let the Lord send you to a church. Because these 12 members that we have, it's taking everything that I have with these 12. And then I'm going to have somebody like Avante? Oh, Lord. Sorry, Avante. I missed you last time, but I got to get you. So he pronounces the power of God. But he just doesn't sit with his hands folded, waiting for this man to be zapped from heaven. It says, once he grabbed him, pulled him up, and said, walk. Mm-hmm. See, the problem is folks, the wrong people grabbing them.
Yeah.
And I tell you, you know, if we are children of God, God speak to us in His Holy Spirit. I don't care what we are doing. God will make provisions for that. Just like He made the provisions when I was at the same factory. He told me to, says, show me a picture of a woman. I went to work that evening. I looked and looked and didn't see that face that God showed me. So the second day, He says, when you find this, when you see this woman, tell her these words. I went to work the second day. I did not see the picture that the Lord showed me of this woman. I said, man, does it work there? If they worked, I'm bound to have glanced them or see them in the cafeteria or somewhere, because we worked on different floors. So the third day, He says, when you see her, give her these words. So I went to work that particular day, looked and I was working, I was a fixer, I was working on a machine, and I just happened to need something out of my toolbox, so I raised up over the machine, and I grabbed my toolbox, and I saw somebody walking in the front aisle. I said, that's her. I said to myself. And so I stopped, I told the operator, I said, operator, I said, I got to go see something a minute, I'll be right back. I was working on the machine. And I went to, I peeped and found out where this person was working. And once I found out where she was working, I came right back and did my job. But the thing is, when I got my first opportunity, I took off on another floor to find this girl and to tell her what the Lord had said. When I told her, I said, first of all, I made it clear. I says, I'm sorry, lady, you know, you're attractive, lady. I'm not coming for you. I'm coming because the Lord sent me to tell you something. I put that up front first. I ain't for no mess. And I told her, exactly, no more or no less, what the word of God told me to say. And if that young lady didn't break out in a shout, didn't break out in hallelujah, glory to God. But you know, God's, the way He moved and the way some companies are, when you mention, why are you down here ministering when you're supposed to be working? Why are you down here giving up word and preaching when you're supposed to be working? Why are you down here yelling? You're not even supposed to have your Bible on the floor. But God had made it so that that floor was on a meeting, or on break. And she was the only one there. And God's not going to make a fool of you trying to do His work. But He just wants you to be obedient and stop and do what He's telling you to do.
Amen.
He is good. First of all, getting back to this crippled man, and I told her, but it's getting gooder. It's going to get gooder. First of all, He was crippled from his mother's womb. So he had a birth issue. But he has been inactive for 40 years because his leg, he couldn't use them. So that means that they were the word I found in the dictionary is anthropod. But when the power of Jesus set in other words, that word means that if I take my arm and tie it up and don't use it, I lose it for lack of use.
That's right.
This man's legs, you can imagine he didn't have muscle in it to stand up. He didn't have anything to help him because he's been paralyzed from his mother's womb for 40 years. So that's a double problem. That's an impossible problem. But it said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then I'm going to grab the man that hadn't walked in 40 years and had all these complications. I'm going to pull him up and say, walk. And he walked. God is doing something in this place. Y'all haven't seen anything yet done by your hands. There's two sides to the story. I mean, two things. I call them sides, but you know. They grabbed him. And he became grabbable. There are a lot of grabbable men out there. If they can only find Peter and a John willing to grab them, watch this, what Peter says. Because, see, a lot of folk had used Jesus' name illegitimately. Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Peter says, what I have, I give to you because I'm so connected to the name that he is going to allow me to, for Robert, piggyback on the power so I can help another man who is lame. Oh, but it gets gooder because he says, seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. Man, God is something else. See, this man had no use, no muscles, no nothing in his leg to it. Even if he wasn't crippled, he just sat down on his legs for 40 years. Ain't no way in the world you can walk. First of all, he was crippled from his mother's womb. So he had birth issues. But when you say immediately and the power of God says you walk and you get up and walk, that means that this man didn't have to go to a 12-step program. It means that he didn't have to take years of counseling to get right. See, God overcame 40 years of this lameness in less than a minute. Whenever God wants to show off, if I may use that terminology, if I can use that phrase, whenever God wants to show off, whenever God wants to show out, he will not do something progressively. He'll do it on the spot. See that when you need to know, what you need to know is who you're dealing with. You say, well, nothing has happened yet. But you have to understand, God doesn't need time. He needs purpose. And sometimes he will not let things slowly progress. He will let things stay in a state until you are ready for a supernatural infusion of his presence. This man has been lame for 40 years, but it took him 40 years to be ready for this moment. And at this moment that he was ready, God connected him with two men who had access to his power. So if you are today, how would I say this? Peter and John, who are praying men on their way into the temple, who refused to let you stay in your stupor, in your lameness, because he knows you ought to be immediately healed. Person that God wants to, God wanted to turn his life around. He had to turn his life around on the spot. But who was witnessing this? See, that's the important thing. God has to have a purpose. He wants to give you a miracle. He wants to heal you. But see, he will not do it and allow it to go on day after day until you get ready for it. We used to say this at the earlier part of our ministry. We used to talk about millionaires. You give people $1 million and a lot of them will leave the church. Why? Because I don't need God anymore. All I thought needed was money. So I just take $1 million. Ooh, Lord, what can I do with $1 million? That's why you see so many millionaires that got named multiple millions of dollars, and most of them are broke today. Because money don't make you or make you wrong. When God wants to move, he can move quickly, immediately, because that's how much power is in the hands of the risen Christ. Hallelujah. So it says, his ankles and his feet were strengthened, a supernatural infusion of power. And verse 8 says, with a leap, he stood right up and began to walk. God does things that the medical department will never understand. This man jumped up. He began to walk. He didn't start crawling first. He began to walk. Now, let me say a word to Peter and John, to the Peter and Johns that are here. Maybe you are not a lame man. Let's see, you got the power of God. Maybe you're not a lame man. Maybe you're Peter and John, which is great. But if you are going to be a Peter or a John, you have to be willing to let God interrupt your plans. Even when it's going to a prayer meeting. Because see, they were on their way. They could have said, I got to go pray now. But God, let's let things cross your path that he wants you to minister to. Nobody else. He wants you to minister to. He lets young men cross your path or older men cross your path who needs to be grabbed. But we got a generation of men out here, and Peter and the Johns don't stop. They just keep walking for everybody. But you can stop for somebody. You just can't let God has to really, you have to really be in tune to God. See, this generation I said earlier has been picked up by the devil, particularly our boys and young men. They have got to be grabbed by some Peter or some John who are on their way to the temple to pray. The man leaps, and when the man leaped up, he enters the temple with them. Hey! When the man leaped up, and start to step in, Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. The man went to the temple with them. What's God's purpose? All right. That's interesting. Yeah, it is. Do you know what will ignite your prayer life? You have an idea? What will ignite your prayer life? When God gives you a testimony.
Amen.
You don't need a program. Mm-mm. This man jumped right up. Then he says, where are you guys going? He said, we're going to pray. He said, no, not without me. I'm going to get my praise on. Because see, when God moves in your life, you don't need to be cute anymore. See, when God moves in your life, you don't need to be sophisticated anymore. See, when God moves in your life, this thing in your life that God has moved, you need to let everybody know it. Listen, he tell you, don't go tell nobody. When God said, I'm going to find out how much of an impact I had on them. So you've been healed. You're going to look all pretty. I got my heels on. I can't jump right now. My feet hurt. I can't do it right now. Didn't I just heal you? Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to his name. I just been healed. You say you're going to church? Follow me. I'm going with you. You're not going to leave me out here. God done a big thing in my life. Nobody ever had the opportunity to stop and give me what y'all gave me for free. You gave me the strength that what I have walked in 40 years. But you know I'm happy.
Hallelujah.
I can stand on my own 2 feet. You know, when the man showed up, he went to the temple with him, went to the prayer meeting. Don't you know that prayer meeting changed? And I know the prayer meeting changed because it happened in chapter 4. Everybody started talking about what had happened to this lame man's life, who was immediately transformed. And according to chapter 4, verse 4, here is what we read. But many of those who heard the message believed, and a number of men came to about 5,000. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, no. 5,000. That's because when God gives you a testimony, he wants you to touch somebody. He wants you to touch somebody else. When God gives you a testimony, he wants other men in your circle, in your influence, to get saved and to be transformed. So all you are doing is coming to church service and you're coming here diligently, and if all you're doing is coming to prayer meeting and you come here and show up, other men who have been changed because you got your praise on, when you have and led by the Spirit of God, we don't know it, but through our testimonies, and men are being saved, friends are being saved, family members are being saved, all of us in the same influential group, we know, we understand the power of God. We are adding to the church every day, because I don't know how many people that we touch since we got our praise on, since we got our testimony on, that God saved, and they saved when the invitation was announced. They said, Lord, I'll give my life to you. If you did this for him, I have no doubt that you can do this little thing for me. I asked Linda way back when, this was well on before this ministry, and she had Wednesday prayer at church, at the church that we belonged to then. And she had 4 or 5 people every Wednesday from her job drive them over to the church for the prayer meeting, for the noonday prayer. Can you think, it's 4 or 5. Just think of how many people were saved as they split up from the prayer meeting and beginning to tell people about the prayer meeting, and God began to influence some supernatural things in their lives. And just think, and somebody was saved because of their testimony. Just think, we are adding to the church. The Bible says the church is added to daily. It don't mean that we're going to get 5,000 right here. No, we got more than that. Because we take our 2, 3 here, and all the people, the churches that represented in Jesus Christ's name, got 2 or 3, 1,000 people will be 3,000 people. We only got 3 here. And just think
this everybody that God is entering the kingdom just because of their testimony. Amen. See, we got a whole lot to be thankful for, saints.
Yes, we do.
A whole lot to be thankful for. See, I don't need all that. But the good news is that your background from Nazareth no longer has to be the definition of your manhood.
Amen.
Because God can meet folk in a Nazarene history, because he came out of Nazareth background, and he can still change your life for the better. I don't care how poor your community been. I don't care how bad, what kind of way you grew up. And some people, now a lot of them use this excuse, well, I didn't have this, I didn't have that. It's true. But sooner or later, you got to grow up and let God and recognize it there. You cannot grow up, even if you stay online all the time, you stay in the, and without finding something about God, something about Jesus Christ. And some people said, look, that's why it's so hard for, heard the story of this football player that was in Creighton Court. You know, they turned down Creighton Court now. But he says, I just had to go back and take one more ride through it. He's famous now. But he went back, and they showed him on camera. He's talking to the news reporter. He said, you know, I'm so happy. I'm so thrilled. I'm so blessed because very few people get out of this neighborhood. He is making a change. And I'm quite sure it's not going to stop there. He is going to have friends and everybody. If you have a clout or have a name, especially a good name, that name, I'm a savior, I'm a Christian, and Jesus Christ, people are gravitate. You think they're gravitating you because you're a pro football player. But once they find out that you have been saved, sanctified by the word of God, he can pull them in. They pull him in just because this man was in my neighborhood. This man, I mean, the neighborhood, some of those people were really poor. Some of them really believed that they would never make it out. But see, Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You know, all we can do, men, is praise him.
Hallelujah, Lord.
You're here because God had you here. If you're not where you think you want to be, you're where you need to be. If you're saved, you say, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. You're going to be tested.
Amen.
God's going to send people across your path. You're probably going to be on your way to, you may be on the way to church. And say, I didn't make it because, I didn't make, why? Because a soul got saved.
Hallelujah.
By my testimony.
Hallelujah.
You can add them to the church out there as well as you can add them to the church in here.
Right.
See, we got to get out of this religious mentality.
Yes.
You ain't going to stop me from going to church. I've heard it so many times. You ain't going to stop me from going to church. Yeah, I got to go. And you got a family member asking for something right there. Heavenly Father, right now, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for always, Lord. I appreciate your word, Lord. I pray that your word has fallen on fertile ground. Father, I just thank you that the young men here, Lord. Father, I just thank you, Father, even though they are saved. I thank you, Father, that they understand your simple word. This story has been in this Bible for years, ever since the Bible was printed. But sometimes the little nuggets have to come out that we may fully understand what you really intend for us to do. And, Father, now we know we have a testimony. And I'm going to share that testimony, whoever needs it. And, Father, for this, I ask for every man in this room right now in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that they have that testimony. I'm calling to those things that be not as though they were. And if you want it, that in your heart, just say, Lord, I accept it.
Hallelujah.
Everything that you have for me, Lord, I accept it. I will give my testimony. I will praise you and give your name all the honor and all the glory. Father, if it's drugs, I don't need a 12-step program. I just need you. And Father, you're the one that can supernaturally heal me on the spot. Father, I don't have the mind right now. I'm carried away and torn down. I don't know. I have other tendencies that are, the Lord, I don't know what it is. But I tell you what, God can take care of that. He can set your mind on the right track.
Yes, he will.
Yes, and he'll do it now, on the spot. Father, just thank you for just Holy Ghost-filled men in this place. Father, thank you, Father, for your blessings. You bless them coming in, bless them coming going out. And Father, I just thank you, Father, for the boldness to share their testimony. In Jesus' name, everyone shout hallelujah. Hallelujah.